Good morning. Today's daf is daf Samach Zayin. We were on Samach Vavim with Beis. The Gemara is discussing the concept of an asmachta, a transaction where we have a dispute whether or not it takes effect, where a person had said, you know, if X, Y, and Z doesn't happen, then you can have my field. Did he really mean it? Did he not really mean it? So the Gemara finally says, we're here in the middle of Samach Vavmud Beis. Ella Amar Rav Papa said like this, if at the end of the 3 years, the borrower had said, if I don't pay you back in 3 years, you get this field of mine, and the field is worth much more than the loan. So Rav Papa said, even if that doesn't work, that at the end of the 3 years, the lender is not entitled to the entire field. Ikapid ba'ara, if at the end of the 3 years, the borrower is refusing to sell any land of his, even for full price, then vadai kani, that's clearly an indication that he's not planning to repay the loan and to get his field, and he gave up on the field, because he's not making any efforts to try to get money at hand to save the field. So then he is wholeheartedly giving up the field, and then the asmachta would work. The Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa said another halach. Afagav Damar Rav Banar Asmachta Lo Kanya. Even though we've said that the halach is that a deal that we classify as asmachta does not go through, so that is a borrower who said, okay, I'm going to borrow $100 from you, Zev, and if 3 years from now I don't pay you back, you can take my field, it's worth $3,000. So we say, if after 3 years he hasn't given me back the $100, I can't take the field, because he thought he was going to give it back. He thought he was going to be able to give it back. He never really intended to give up a field.
Why would they consider it rubbish?
It's a sale, and it's uncertain, both of those.
It's a sale
also. It's not a... But we'll see. It is. There are issues of rivis. So even though the Rabbanan said asmachta doesn't acquire, but that doesn't mean that the lender doesn't get his $100 back. Aputika havya. That field, at the end of 3 years, is the guarantor. The migvamine, for the lender to collect from it the 100 that he's owed. Amale Rav Huna, Beid Rav Nasan, Rav Papa. So Rav Huna, the son of Rav Nasan, said to Rav Papa, Mika Amarle, but did the borrower say, Kanilu Guvaina? If I don't pay you back, you can acquire my field, you can acquire within my field for the collection? Amarle, Marzucha, Breid Rav Mari, Ravina. Marzucha, the son of Rav Mari, said to Ravina, you think the whole thing is based on what the lender said, the borrower said? I Amar Kanilu Migvamine? If you're going to say, even if the borrower said, and after 3 years, if I don't pay you back, you can acquire to get back from, you can acquire from my field the amount of the loan. So asmachti, at the end of the day, it's an asmachta. It's saying, if a certain eventuality doesn't happen, then you get an acquisition. You just said asmachta lo kanya. It doesn't matter whether that acquisition is $3,000 item for a $100 loan, or it's $100 within the $3,000 item. Bottom line, it's an acquisition based on an eventuality not happening. And the guy thought the eventuality was going to happen. Ella said, rather, what did Rav Papa mean? Aputiki to come Rav Papa Mai. What did Rav Papa mean when he says the lender is not going to get the field? Correct, because of the laws of Asmachta. But the lender will still get his money back. Da'amar le, if the borrower had said, lo yehelecha piron ela mizu. I'm making my field the guarantor. You're going to get paid back from the field. So really, the lender could have collected from the field all along the 3 years, because the borrower had said, you can get your money back from the field. He didn't. The borrower said, you can get your money back from the field. And he said, and if I don't pay you at all, at the end of the 3 years, you can get the whole field. So we're saying that condition, if I don't pay you at all, you can get the whole field, that doesn't work, because that's an asmachta. And since from day one he had already promised that the field is the guarantor, the field is the guarantor, and the lender can still collect the loan back from the field. The 100 he can get back from the field.
By taking over?
Taking $100 out of the field. Taking fruit, taking a fraction of the field.
But not the ownership.
But he can't take ownership of the entire field, which is worth much more than the loan. Part of the field he could take. Hahu Gavra. So now we're dealing with a sale. There was a man, Dizabin Le'ara Lechavri Bachrayus. Zev sold a field to Gavriel, and said, listen, Gavriel, I have debts. So it could be that one of my lenders is going to come and grab the field from you. If he does, I will reimburse you. You can take from my other fields that which you just lost. So Gavriel told to Zev when he was buying the field, if your lenders are going to take the field away from me, magvisli may ide idis to islach. You have to give me back a field from the best of the best that you have. Zev, you have different levels of fields. You have ziburius, bad fields, baninus, middle fields, idius, great fields. You have ide idis, the great of the great. I'm getting reimbursed from the great of the great. So I said back to him, Amarle, the seller was selling the field, said, no, I'm not going to give you the best of the best. I want the best of the best for myself. I'll give you from the best fields that I have, not the best of the best. All right, Lesof, in the end, Tarfu Amine. The people I owed money to took away the field that I had sold to Gavriel. But before he could come and get the best field from me, which is what I had promised, asabitka, there was an overflow of water, v'shakali de'idias, it destroyed the best of the best. So now what's the halacha? Do we say that since I had initially rejected giving the best of the best, and now the best of the best is gone, that means I never want to give the very, very top of what I have, so I don't have to give the best. Or do we say, no, I had said I wasn't going to give the best of the best, but I said I was going to give the best, so now the best is still around, I still have to give it. So Savar, Rav Papa Lemeimer, Rav Paper said, that's the machlokas, that's the argument.
What's the
machlokas? It's so Rav Papa said, I said I was going to give him the best. I told him I won't give him the best of the best. How come I still have the best? But Rav Acham Adifti said, like Jason and Rachamim to Ravina, the seller should be able to tell the buyer, when I told you, I'm going to give you the best, to have this kind of, because I had best of the best, I said I will give the best. But hashta, but now kaimale idis, pemakom ide idis. Now the best is taking the place of the best of the best, because that's the best of the best that the guy's got, and therefore he doesn't have to give it. All right, going back to the issues of asmachta. Rav Bar Shaba borrowed money from Rav Kahana. So therefore, I have a masik bear of Kahana. Zuzi, Rav Kahana was pursuing him for the money that he owed to him. Amar le, so Rav Bar Shaba said to Rav Kahana, Ilo prana lach liyom ploni, if I don't pay you by, I don't know, the 13th of Kislev, vamehai chamra, you can take the money from this barrel of wine, and this is the valuation of the barrel. So the day came, the 13th of Kislev came, and Rav Bar Shaba did not pay up his loan. Meanwhile, the wine went up in value. So Rav Papa Lemeimar, so Rav Papa thought that Rav Kahana is allowed to take that amount of wine that had been promised, even though Rav Bar Shaba was giving it to him because of the debt. And that's not called an asmachta, because ki amin an asmachta lo kanya. When do we say that when a borrower says, if I don't pay by X date, you can have this valuable item? It doesn't work. It doesn't become acquired because he thought he was going to be able to pay. That's in terms of land, the lavla zabuni kaimer. Because land, normally a person doesn't want to sell. So since a person doesn't want to sell his land, then we say that when he said, if I don't pay the loan, you have my land, he didn't mean it. Because people never want to sell the land. Abel chamra, but wine, even the zabuni kai, everybody wants to sell their wine. Wine is always sold. So kizuzi dummy, that's like money. It's like saying, if I don't pay you back by December 13th, I'm going to give you the money. Okay, so of course that works. That's wholehearted. Amalei Ravuna, Breda Rav Yeshua, Rav Papa. So Ravuna, the son of Rav Yeshua, said to Rav Papa, Hach yaminu mishmeide Rabba. This is what I heard in the name of Rabba. Kol di'i. Any time a borrower says, if I don't pay you back, then the following. Any if. Lo kani doesn't acquire, because that's the real idea of the asmachta. The reason why the asmachta doesn't work is not because the item being sold, the item being promised, is the guy doesn't want to let go of it. It's because the guy didn't believe that when he said his words, he was going to have to carry out his words, because he was sure he was going to pay back the loan. So that can apply also to wine, and he doesn't have to give up the wine. Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, Ashtad Amar Rabbanan asmachta lo kanya. Now that the rabbis have said that in a scenario of asmachta, namely, when somebody borrows money from somebody else, and he says, if I don't pay you back in 3 years, I don't pay you back the $100, you can have this field of mine, and own it, which is worth $3,000. If the 3 years come and the guy still hasn't paid back, the lender is not entitled to the field, because we say he didn't mean it. He didn't mean it when he made these promises. What happens if the lender took the field? He took the field and he ate the fruits. So hadar ara, the lender is going to have to give back the field. Vahadar peira, and he'll have to give back the fruits that he ate because he wasn't entitled to it, because it did not belong to him. Now, even though the borrower knew the lender was going into the field and he didn't stop him, that's not considered that he was mochel. That gets into a new topic, because he was mochel based on a mistake. He thought that based on his earlier words, he had to keep his words. He thought it was a binding deal. But he really wasn't a binding deal. So since it was all based on a mistake, a mechila b'taus, if he forgives money based on a mistake, that's not considered that he was mochel the money.
But Rabbi, he could sell the field for $3,000, the lender, okay, and take his $100 and give $2,900 to the...
What's that?
If he thought it was a binding deal,
mm-hmm.
then why was it an asmachta?
Right, so that asmachta is a very tricky thing. You know, he knows what he's doing, he says it, we know he means it, but he doesn't really mean it. He doesn't mean it's going to be carried out. He didn't think it was going to happen. He was optimistic. He didn't think it was going
to
happen.
At this end date, this man thinks he has to get it over.
Because he didn't think the end date would arrive. He didn't think after 3 years I'm going to be stuck in this scenario. But he thought he'd have to give it, but he didn't think that it would happen. He knows that he made the promise, and he made the promise. He didn't think, though, that he's going to have to carry it out.
It's not a mistake. We're encouraging people to be flaky. This Gemara is encouraging people to be flaky. Oh, I meant it, I didn't mean it. Did you make it or you didn't make it? There's
no mistake. It's more than that. We're assessing that we know he doesn't mean it. He says it. He knows what he's saying.
You know what people think in their mind.
They know what people think. People are optimists. So the Gemara says, Lemaimer, do you think that this is really a rule? That when the lender collected a field, which he wasn't really entitled to collect, and he ate the fruits, he still has to give it all back, even though the borrower knew that the lender was taking the field, because the borrower thought he didn't have a choice, but really the borrower did have a choice. And so the borrower forgave based on a mistake. It's not a forgiveness. To sav Rav Nachman, mechila betos, lo havi mechila, does Rav Nachman hold that forgiving based on a mistake is not considered forgiving? But v'ayit bar b'wilin, the opposite. Amocher peros deke l'chavero. Let's say I have a date tree and I say to Reuven, would you like to buy the fruits that will come out of my date tree? Right now there's nothing on the date tree. So he gives me money for it. So I'm Rav Huna. Rav Huna said, ad shelo bo l'olam, if the fruits have yet to come into the world, even though I got the money, yachol azo, but we can all change our mind. Yishabo l'olam, but once the fruits are in the world, so now the deal worked. No one can change his mind. I have to deliver the fruits, even though they go up in value. Even after the fruits come into the world, we can change our mind. Because since a person cannot sell what doesn't yet exist, when I sold the fruits that will come out of the date tree, which didn't yet exist, and I took the money for them, nothing took effect. Rav Nachman said, even though nothing took effect when I took the money, Modina, I would agree, if the buyer already took the dates off of the date tree, those dates that hadn't existed when he paid for them, but now they did come into existence, and he ate those dates, we're not going to make him pay for what he ate, because since I never regretted the sale during the time that there were dates, that means I'm mochel to him the eating of the dates. And even though it was a mistake, because I thought I couldn't regret the sale. Really, I could regret the sale because the sale never took effect because it was a mechila. It was a davish labala olam. It is a lasting mechila. So you see that Rav Nachman holds a mechila betaos, a mistake in forgiving, is a meaningful forgiving. Answers the Gemara, no. Rabbi Nachman holds that a mistake in forgiving is not a forgiving. Hasan, but over there, it was a forgiving because we're talking about zvina. We're talking about a purchase. I said to him, I'm going to sell you dates that don't yet exist. He paid me for the dates. It looks like a sale. Now the dates come into existence. He took them off. He ate them. So I can't get anything back anymore once he ate it. Ha, but over here, in the case of the asmachta of Rav Nachman, it was a loan where Reuven borrowed money from me, but he only borrowed 100. And he said, if he doesn't pay me back in 3 years, I can get his field, which is worth 3,000. So he didn't pay me back in 3 years. I took the field, I ate the fruits. If we're going to say I can keep the fruits because he was mochelet to me, it looks like interest. Because at the end of the day, he's going to pay. It was started off as a loan, and I'm getting ultimately the money back plus much more. It looks like interest. So since it looks like interest, Rav Nachman said, no, the deal never took effect. It was all a loan, all along. I never acquired the field because he didn't pay me back. Asmachta lo kanya. So he's going to give me back the money for the loan. Fine, I have to give back to him whatever fruit I eat because we can't have it look like interest. Amar Rava. Rava said, dealing with this issue of forgiving by mistake. Have you seen the Kamehdi Rav Nachman? I was once sitting in front of Rav Nachman when he said this rule that if the buyer of dates that hadn't yet come into existence ate those dates already, even though the sale had never been a sale, the seller had forgiven to the buyer the money, and the buyer does not have to return it. Uboy lo'osfei ona'ah, I wanted to challenge him from the halacha of ona'ah, when there is an overpay, where everything gets returned. But understand, the seller and the buyer know that there's overpay or there is underpaying. And nevertheless, and they're mochel, they did the deal. And yet we say it's not a mechila. You see, the mechila betos is not mechila. That's what I wanted to ask. But Odik and Rav Nachman saw what I was about to ask. Chazitan Islandis, he showed me the halacha of when a man marries and it turns out it was all a mistake that the woman was an islandess. And from there you see that even Mechila Bitaus is considered Mechila. So what was the discussion? It was like this. I wanted to ask him, you just said that a man who didn't really sell his fruits, but he allowed the buyer to eat those fruits, can't demand those fruits back, because even though he made a mistake thinking that it wasn't really a, he thought it was a sale, it really wasn't a sale, and he was forgiving because he thought it was a sale, but really it wasn't a sale. You're saying you can't get the fruits back. You said, Hare Onah, but what about a case of Onah? The Mechila Betos, every case of Onah, when a guy overcharges me, and I paid too much. I thought that I was paying, and that was it, that I didn't have a choice. I thought that once I paid, and it was done willfully, that I was mochel. And nevertheless, lo havia mechila, it's not considered a mechila. We know he has to give me back the money if he charged me more than a sixth. If he charged me a sixth too much. Vodik and Rav Nachman said back, chazita and islandess, let me show you the law of islandess. How a islandess in the case of a man who marries a woman. It turns out that she really doesn't have feminine qualities. Her body doesn't mature. The mechila bitosi, where that is a situation that had he known that she was an islandess, he never would have been mochel to her. It was he forgave things to her based on a mistake. And nevertheless, it is a mechila. It is considered that he forgave her to her. So you see that even forgiving by mistake is considered forgiving. Let's say you have a girl whose father is no longer alive, so the rabbis instituted that her siblings can marry her off, but if she refuses the marriage at any point, she can leave. Or ashniya, a man marries a woman, and it turns out that she's really prohibited to him. She was prohibited to him. She was an Issur D'Rabbanan, an Arayos D'Rabbanan. Or an islandess. He married a woman as a child. And later, as she grows, her body never matures. So in all these three cases, Ein Lan Lo Ksuba, the husband doesn't have to give these women a Ksuba, Velo Peros, nor would the husband have to repay to these women the fruits that he ate from their fields while they were with him, the lomazonos. And if the woman borrowed money in order to have food, the husband, in the case of a woman who's a mimaenes, or it turns out that the woman was an islandess, does not have to reimburse for the food, the lobelos. And if the woman brought in clothing, and the clothing got worn out, he doesn't have to return them. The low. So that what's the case there? That's an amazing thing, right? It's an islandess. It's a case of an islandess. And he doesn't have to give to his wife, the islandess, whatever she ate. He doesn't have to reimburse the people who gave her food. He doesn't have to give them back the money for their food.
Does he have to give her a get?
No, because it turns out it was never a marriage.
He doesn't need a get.
And it turns out it was never a marriage, but at the moment, At the moment, let's say he doesn't have to give her back the fruits that he ate off of her field. Because why? At the moment that he was eating the fruits on her field, she and he thought that they were married. He thought he was married to her. She thought he was married to him. She was mochel to him at that time. So even though it was a mechila based on a mistake, it is a mechila. So the Gemara says, Velohi, this whole discussion is really inapplicable. Lo ona havya tiyufta, the case that when a man overcharges, he has to repay, does not imply that forgiving under mistaken understandings wasn't forgiving. Velo islandist misayele, and nor this halacha, that a man who it turns out was married to an islandist does not have to repay to her the fruit that he ate off of her fields, is not approved to the idea that a forgiving by mistake is forgiving. Lo ona to yufte. The first question was not a question from ona, because the point of ona is not that there was any forgiving. De lo yada de ise ona. The case of ona is that a buyer doesn't know he's being overcharged. He thinks the price he's paying is the right price. He doesn't know he's being overcharged. It's not that he paid thinking that he was supposed to forgive and that he had to, and he did forgive. He didn't forgive. He didn't know he was overcharged. Now this other brisa, that a husband who ate the fruits of his wife, who turns out to be an islandist, doesn't have to pay her back the fruits. It's not because she was mochel to him. No, she's mochel to him not based on a mistake. Nichale de tepa kalashma de ishus. Even when it turns out later that she was never married to him, she always wanted that retroactively it should be considered that she was married. She wanted the reputation of being a married woman. She wanted people to say, oh, she was married, but it didn't work out. Because if they say she was, if they say she was married, then that's a big part of her ego. She's marriageable. If people are going to say she was always an islandist, she was a woman who can't ever be married, so then it's not eligible for marriage. That's very deflating. If she's going to get the fruits back, it's going to look like she never was married. But if the fruits that her quote-unquote husband ate from her before we all knew that she was an islandist, he gets to keep and he doesn't have to repay, that helps her reputation. That gives her reputation of a marriageable woman who was married. That's why her husband ate the fruits and they got divorced. The husband doesn't have to pay back the fruits. So because she wants that scenario, that's why the husband doesn't have to repay the fruit. But it's not that because she forgave under a mistaken assumption, the forgiveness under a mistake lasts. No, forgiveness under a mistaken assumption doesn't last. There was a case where she wants to stay in that situation of having forgiven the money.
Rabbi, so even if she wasn't married, sort of by ceremony, with a ketubah and so forth, but if she was acquired through relationship, then would she not be married?
Not married.
There's no relationship.
No, there's relationship. She has a vagina, but she doesn't have breasts. She doesn't have a sloped waist. You know, she doesn't have the reproductive organs. But
she's seemingly a man wouldn't want to do anything with this.
It's a mekach taos.
Who knows? It's a mekach taos, correct? And that's why retroactively it never was a marriage.
But she wants the secondary benefit of being.
She wants the reputation, correct? Woman. Correct.
So for that, she'll move
someone else. That makes the future.
Hey, itasa. There was a woman. She told a man, Zil Zavainli Ara Mikrivi. We're going to see her name was Novel or something. She said, go buy for me land from a relative of mine. In other words, she asked him to go do her a favor, buy her land from a certain relative. Azal Zavanla. So the man went and he bought the land for her. Amarle, so the seller said to this guy buying the land, if I would have the money, if I eventually get the money, I want you to pay me back, give me back the land, and I'll give you the money back. Amarle, so the man said, at v'navla achi. All right, you and this woman who I bought the land for, her name was Navla, you and the woman are relatives. You know what? You figure it out how to divide the land if you want to get it back. Okay, so he made this like throwaway commitment. So later, the man came back with the money. The seller came back with the money. So Rabbi Rav Huna said, "Kol at v'navla achi." When a buyer says, "Listen, you and Navla are going to be the partners. You'll work it out." What does that mean? It means samcha daite. It means that the seller could be secured. Listen, this is my relative, and I really am going to be able to get it back because she's going to not stand in my way. And therefore, when he sold the land, he really was making this condition. I'm selling the land, but if I have the money, I can get it back. And therefore, now that he has the money, he can get it back. Therefore, now that he has the money and he gives it back to the buyer who bought it on behalf of his relative, this woman, Arahadra. So he gives the money, he gets the land back. What about the fruit that was eaten off of the land? Hey, Ramai, what about the fruit eaten off of the land? Does that fruit have to be returned to him, the seller? Or do we say that, no, the buyer was entitled to that fruit? In other words, now that the seller is giving money back and getting the land, so that means that the money he had originally taken from the buyer was a loan. Took the money, now he gave it back. So does he, what's going to happen with the fruit? Are we going to say that the buyer can keep the fruit? That means the buyer made a loan and he's getting interest. Or maybe not. So ribis ktsut sahavi, do we view it as literally, you know, a classical ribis? The yotzin b'dayanim, and we're going to now have judges take it away from the buyer. Odilm, or maybe kiavak ribisi. This is only something which looks like ribis. It's ribis drabanan. Really, this was a sale. It was a sale. So he was entitled to eat the fruits. V'ein yotzin, and therefore now we're not going to make, the judges will not make him give it back. Rabbi Ravuna said, Mistabra, I think that in this scenario, Kiyavak Ribisav, it only looks like interest. It's not really a loan, it's really a sale. And Yotzin B'dayan, and the judges would not make him, you know, give up the fruits that he ate.
What would it have been said? I mean, he saw that he said, if I'm able to buy it back, I'll buy it back. But why would he be deemed a loan?
I see it originally.
It was a sale originally.
And he said, if I'm able to buy it back, I'd like to be able to buy it back.
Right.
He said.
But now that he did come with the money for it back, so that means that the money, maybe, or maybe you look at it more like a loan, that he was given money, he used the money for a period of time,
like
got the money back together again, gave it back.
He said
he was coming back.
That's not a purchase.
But that's true. On the other hand, he said he may. So that's the Gemara's conclusion, right? The Gemara's conclusion is, as you say, that it's a sale and it's not a loan. That's the conclusion. V'chein amar Rava. Rava also said, ki avakri b'savu. This is only looking like interest. And ein yotze b'dayan, and we wouldn't make, the judges would not make him give the fruits back.
Rabbi, but it doesn't take care of the Maratayim question here in this case, because it's going to be perceived by others as that.
Okay. Maybe, but even Marasayin is not something that judges would make a person have to give back.
But the whole thing initially was because it looks like it. Now we're changing all the
way. No, we're saying that it looks like it means you shouldn't do it. But if you did it, you're not going to have to disgorge it. The court will not take it away from you if you did it. Okay, now the Gemara has a question. We said that this is not considered interest. Amar le Abaye le Rabba. Abaye said to Rabba, what happens if it wasn't a purchase? It was a collateral. Mashkanta mai. What would be in a case of collateral? He lent to his friend, and the friend gave the field as a collateral. And he never said that you, the lender, can eat the fruits. He didn't say anything what to do with the fruits. The lender went and he ate the fruits. And now the buyer comes, the borrower comes, and he pays back the loan. So now is that fruit considered classic interest? And the courts will take the fruits out of his hand, or no? So mashkantamai, do we say, sometime amai mishum delo katzla, is the reason why that wasn't considered interest and we wouldn't take the fruit from him? Because they hadn't agreed to it from the beginning, right? It wasn't a deal, saying, okay, you give me the money for 3 months and you can eat the fruits off of my field. It wasn't a deal. Here also, the borrower never said you can eat the fruits off of the field, so therefore it's not ribis ktsutsa. Or maybe the issue there is what Gavriel was saying. The reason why there it wasn't interest was Hasam Zvina, was because over there it was a sale. He sold the field. Yaakov bought a field. Yaakov bought the field, and then Yaakov sold the field back. So it was just sales. So since it was a sale, it wasn't interest. But Achavit over here, where it's not a sale, it's a loan with this being the collateral, it would be considered interest, and we would have the courts take it away, take the fruits away. Amarle, so he said to him, "Hasam time am I?" The reason for that halach was mishum de lo katzle. They hadn't agreed at the first moment of the transfer of the monies. I'll have money for a period of time, and you'll eat fruit, and then I'll give you back the money. So achanami lo katzle here too, since they didn't have a deal at the very moment when the money was transferred. Here, I'll take the money. You'll eat fruit off of my field. It's not considered interest. He went on his own to eat fruit off of the field. Amr, it's an interest midrabbanan, but it's not something that the court would take out of his hand. Amr, Rav Papa said, Avad Ravina Uvda. Ravina once had a question like this, a halacha, v'chashig v'apik peri. He did go and figure out how much the buyer had eaten from the fruits of the field that he had bought. And when he had to when he got his money back that he had paid for the field, and he gave back the field, he made him also give back all the value of the fruits that he had eaten. To lo Rabbi Bar Avuna, not like Rabbi Bar Avuna, who said that this case is avak ribis. He said, no, this is real ribis. So the post can explain, it's not that it was real ribis, but rather it was the fruit of the seller. Because the seller was saying, I'm going to sell you my field, but if I pay for it, I get it all back. So he wasn't saying that I'm going to get it back later. He was saying that if I pay for it, then retroactively, it never was a sale. So therefore, since it never was a sale, he thought he was forgiving the fruit, but it was all based on a mistake that he didn't think he was entitled to claim the fruit back. And therefore, he could, in fact, claim it back. Yeah, question.
What I understand is if he ate, let's say, a tenth of the field, okay, and then you're going to say, okay, so you owe me back the value of the tenth of the field. But this is over years. So now if he didn't eat a tenth of the field, the whole field would have died each year anyway.
Mm.
So there's no value to the fruit in the first place.
I'm not so sure, right? Orchards, they produce fruit, you know, regardless every year.
But it dies every year.
No, not an orchard. They'll keep coming. Other people would have come picked it. Maybe the poor would have given tzedakah. In the days of the Gemara, they frequently would loan against the collateral. So the idea would be that the borrower would give a field into the hands of the lender, and the lender would eat the fruits off the field until the borrower would pay back the loan. So they had different customs. In some places, the custom was that they'd have a period of a loan, and after that, and for that period of the loan, the lender would have, you know, rights to the field. And during that period, the borrower couldn't pay him off. Even if he had the money, he couldn't knock him out of the field. That's called a place where they would not remove lenders. And then there were other places where, even after making the loan, the borrower could come at any time and throw the lender off of the field that he had put him in if he paid off the entire loan. So the Gemara now says, Amar Mar, Bered Rav Yosef, Mishmei de Rava. Mar, the son of Rav Yosef, said in the name of Rava, Hai Mashkanta, this collateral, Vasa de Masalki, in a place where the borrower at any time can throw the lender off of the field because he can pay off the entire debt. So now, the eating of the fruits is considered interest because at any point the borrower can come and repay the debt. And then the whole debt is paid off. And meanwhile, this guy, the lender, ate the fruits. So, achal shir zuzi, if the lender ate the amount of the loan off of the fruits, out of the fruits, nisalkinale, at that point, the borrower can say, okay, now you're off of my field. You're off of my field. Because it can say, listen, I don't want to be stuck in a situation of interest, where I end up giving you more than what you gave me. You already got what you gave me, so now you're off of my field. However, achal, and if the lender ate tfei, more even than the loan he had given to the borrower, lo mafkina mine, we can't make the lender give back the extra amount that he ate, because it's not considered biblical ribbis, it's only rabbinic interest, and rabbinic interest, the courts cannot make the person pay back. Now, the loma chashvina and mishtara l'shtara, And if there is another loan, so we don't say, okay, the fact that you ate more than the value of this loan from this field, we're now going to take off from how much the borrower owes you in the other loan. Because we say, no, these two things are separate arrangements. And if we would say that we're subtracting from what he owes you in the other loan based on the extra amount that you ate off of this loan, that means we're taking away from the lender this extra interest that he collected, and that we can't do when it's rabbinic interest. However, if the loan was to orphans, and the field that they had made collateral was orphan fields, and the lender is eating off of the field of the orphans, achal shir zuzi, if he ate the amount of the loan, misal kinale, we throw him off of the field, doesn't have to pay any more. Achal tfei, if he ate even more than the amount of the loan, mafkinan mine, we would take away from him, because for the orphans, the court would take away rabbinic interest. Umechashvina mishtar l'shtar, since we take away the rabbinic interest, we say that if the orphans had a second loan outstanding with him, the extra amount that he ate beyond the value of the first loan would be subtracted from what the orphans need to pay in the second loan. Rav Ashi disagreed with my brother Rav Yosef. He said, Hashta damart, according to what you said, achal tfei, that if the lender ate more than the value of the loan, lo mafkina mine, we don't make him give it up, that extra amount. Achal shir zuzi, even if he ate just the amount that he had lent, nami lo mesalkinan le below zuzi, we still would make him entitled to get paid. My time, why? Because initially when he was eating them, he didn't think this was going to take the place of the loan. So saluki below zuzi, if we're going to throw him off of the field without giving him any of the money back, afuke minehu, then it would be as if you're taking away the fruits from him. Because the fruits, you're taking from him the fruits that he ate, and you're saying that is the principle that he was owed. Havi avak ribis. So that looks like interest, avak ribis, and even what looks like interest, ein ayotze b'dayanim, is not something that we can take out with judges. Avid Rav Ashi uvda b'yisomim ktanim, and in fact that happened. Rav Ashi had such a loan arrangement with orphans who were minors, and he treated them kigdolim, like regular people who were adults, and he said that once the fruit was eaten, it was already considered avak ribis, and since it was avak ribis, we would not take it away from the person who consumed it.